Hey, welcome to Planet Shakers. I'm Russell Evans. I'm so excited about what I'm about to share with you. I'm going to be talking on a message on crossing over. I believe we're living in a day, a time, a season where we can cross over to something greater in God. Sit back and enjoy the message. I believe it will change your life. We're almost near the end of the year, and I'm excited about next year, and I'm excited about the next 8 weeks to the end of the year, because we got some amazing things. We got our production, our musical production, which is going to be awesome, always is. It's world class. We got our solo parents offering. We got our gift giving offerings. We got all our graduations that are going to happen. And then when we come into next year, God's given us something new for next year. Amen. But how many know when God gives you something new, it isn't, the journey isn't separate to what was yesterday. Layer upon layer, precept upon precept, line upon line. That's how God builds. It's not like God's taking you in a direction and then all of a sudden you're no longer following a plan. The Bible says in Hebrews 8:5, build according to the pattern shown to you on the mountain. The mountain represents the presence of God. And the pattern is the word design, scar, stamp, or architectural blueprint. So in God's presence, in the mountains, He designs you to walk out your destiny. But there are places along your destiny that propel you into a new season, a new era, a new level. And I believe that next year, we are going into a new level. And I'm not going to give you the theme for next year because, it's Pastor Scott, our college principal, is there, and he's going to be preaching at the graduation. And I've told the staff to tell him what the theme is, but it's not really the theme, so that he gets up and says, the theme is this, and it's actually wrong. Anyway, he's learned his lesson big time. I think he'll learn it for the next 20 years. Knowing my nature. We've been talking about a year of double portion. It doesn't stop in February. Double portion continues through the rest of our life. Double portion. But God highlights seasons that He wants to do. And remember, I talked to you about double portion, the year of discipleship, and we want to double our urban life groups. Well, how's that testimony this morning? That one group could be grown by four. One to four in 1 year. All it takes is vision. Vision is what establishes our footpaths where we go towards. And the Bible says the people without vision perish. And so we're going to be people who constantly live in vision. Because when there's vision, there's provision. And God wants to release provision that will blow our minds. We're going to provide some sunglasses for people who come into this service now that the screens are brighter. But look, you look at those screens, they're brighter now. You can see better. And that's what should happen with Jesus. The closer you get with Him, the more you follow Him, the better you can see Him. And we've been talking about Elijah and Elisha and the double portion to take up the mantle. And we talked about there were four areas that they went to, and we've discovered three. It took him to Bethel, the place, that wasn't the first place, Gilgal, the place of consecration, where they were circumcised. All the men were circumcised as a place that they dedicated themselves to the Lord. Elijah took Elisha there. Then he took him to Bethel, which is the house of God, which represents a discipling of oneself and coming to a family. And then he took him to Jericho. We talked about that, which was the place of the supernatural, place of breakthrough, where Jericho, the walls come down. And I'm going to talk about the fourth place this morning, the Jordan River. The Jordan. Everyone say the Jordan. By the way, I preached on prayer a couple of weeks ago. Who remembers the 5 points of prayer? A stands for? C stands for? T stands for? S stands for? And I stands for? Have you been doing it? It changes your life. Don't forget the 7 a.m. prayer meeting here in Melbourne and the other prayer meetings. It literally, this year has been a year of increase. I believe it's been our greatest year of growth in every area of our church. And I believe that next year, I felt this year was a setup for year 2020. which means next year and the next year and the next year, God's going to do something that will blow our minds if you're ready for it. 2 Kings, we've looked at it a lot, 2:6, it says, Elijah said to him, stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me onto the Jordan. He had been to the other three places. But he said, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. Oh, by the way, I got this thought for you. It's random to this sermon, but I got this thought about Elijah. This is a cool thought. Elijah, remember Elijah brought fire down and Jezebel says, I'm going to wipe him out within 24 hours. Remember that? That he said that, and he ran him and he was fearful. See, the devil might say he's going to do something to you. He might try to take you out. He might say he's going to destroy you. But if you look at Elijah's life right now, she couldn't take him out in one day. She couldn't take him out in 2 days. She couldn't take him out in 2 weeks. She couldn't take him out in a month. She actually couldn't take him out in 1,000 years. He isn't dead. Elijah never died. He ascended. Look at that. The devil says, I'm going to take you out in a day. And God says, God, you watch what I do. I'll take somebody who was supposed to die and I'm going to get them to ascend and they're never going to die. So you might think you're going to do that, but this is what I'm going to do because I'm bigger than what you say. So if the enemies try to attack you and says, I'm going to get you, just remember Elijah. It's the same thing, intimidation, try to take him out and he's still alive. Just a little thought. It says this, but as the Lord lives, as your soul lives, I will not leave. And the two of them went on, and 50 men of the sons of the prophet went, stood facing them at a distance while the two of them stood by the Jordan. Now Elijah took his mantle and he rolled it up and struck the water, and it was divided this way and that. So the two of them crossed over on dry ground. Everyone say, a miracle happened. And so it was when they crossed over, Elijah said to Elisha, ask what I might do for you. We've talked about that before I'm taken away from you. Elisha said, please let me have a double portion of your spirit. He said, you've asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I'm taken from you, it shall be so. But if not, it shall not be so. So here is the last place where Elijah is being taught, is teaching Elisha about the places that they went to. In the Bible, as I said, they didn't have Instagram or online or anything like that. How they would teach people, they would take them to places of significance that happened. I was just in London and I went to St. Paul's Cathedral, and it is amazing. The English are hilarious, you know. They pay us Australians out because they think they got so much culture. And they say, what's the difference between yogurt and Australia? Yogurt has culture. That's an English joke that they would use. They say, you're only 200 years old. I just said, no. We were dreamed before God ever created us. We're a lot older than you think. And we beat you in sport usually. Convict power. Glenn Barrett. I want you to send Glenn Barrett some messages online and say, Australia rules. England rules. Because they all want to be like Australia. Anyway, so I'm going through St. Paul's, then I went to the Tower of London, and I'm like, wow, look at all these crown jewels and stuff. But there were places that all along the walls you would see, well, at this place this happened, and at this place that happened, and at that place, and you can get that online, but in the Bible that they set up places as memorials, places of remembrance, to show what God was like and what he had done, so to give us confidence in what he was going to do. So Jordan was one of those places. So many miracles happen around Jordan. To me, the Jordan represents following the journey. Elijah and Elisha cross over the Jordan to a place where the mantle falls for Elisha to take up the mantle. I very rarely in life see God change people's journeys. I see people go, well, God's taking me on a new journey. I very rarely see that. I see through Scripture that God gives a vision, and our life is to outwork that vision through obedience to get us to that place. The vision doesn't change. How we get there might change and how we think we should get there, but the vision never changes. Huh. See, sometimes we look at how we should cross over, how we should get to a place, but God says, no, I want to take you on a journey to get you ready to take what I'm going to give you, what I showed you. And so here they are, and they're at the Jordan. It's a place of following the journey. It's a place where the mantle falls. Number two, it's a place that brings you towards the promise. They crossed over. If you look at Joshua with the children of Israel, they crossed over the Jordan to Jericho, to take Jericho. It was a place of crossing over towards the promise. There is always a place of crossing over. There's always a place of stepping into a whole new season. I believe as a church that we are crossing over spiritually into a whole new season. I can see it, I can feel it, I can smell it. Just as you have rain in the air, it's about to rain, I can smell it, that God is taking us into a new season, a new level. The things we've been praying for 13 years, God's going to be releasing over the next 3 years. You've been praying it with your business. You've been praying for your kids. You've been praying for your family. You've been praying. And here's the thing. Don't give up. Because it's a time for crossing over. It's not a time for checking out. It's a time to cross over. Let me talk about your spiritual life, for example. Your spiritual life is your most important part of your life. Because it's what you're created. You're a spirit person. So every decision you make should always be attached to your spiritual walk, not your financial walk, not your convenience walk. It should always be attached to your spiritual walk. I've seen people in our church that have chased careers but not attached spirituality to that. In other words, they haven't thought where they're going to go to church, how they're going to connect, how they're going to be in a community of believers, because that's how God builds. They've just gone for the dollars. And I see them now and they've lost their spiritual fervor. They're walking with Christ with a half limp. Why? Because they haven't put their spiritual life number one. Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God and all these things shall be added unto you. Crossing over. It's a place that brings you towards a promise. It's a place of remembering the past to follow your future. I said it before. They across the Jordan, as the children of Israel crossed over the Jordan to go to Jericho, and they went over on dry ground again, a miracle happened. They took 12 stones out of the Jordan and made it a memorial so that people could remember what Jehovah had done. But it wasn't about what Jehovah had done, period, he stopped doing. It was to show them what Jehovah had done and what will inspire them to what he can do and will do to somebody who surrenders to his purpose and his will. The Jordan. Here, let me read some scripture for you. When all the people crossed the Jordan, the Lord said, Joshua, now choose 12 men from each tribe, take them 12 stones from the very place where the priests are standing in the middle of the Jordan. Carry them out and pile them up and place them where you can. So Joshua called the 12 men he had chosen from each one of the tribes of Israel, and he told them, go into the middle of the Jordan in front of the ark of the Lord your God, and each one of you must pick up one stone and carry it onto your shoulder. By the way, notice that the presence of God was the very first thing that went in as they stepped over. They were seeing the river was flowing, but it was the priest carrying the presence of God. It's the presence of God that leads you to your destiny. So it goes on, it says, we will use these 12 to build a memorial in the future. Your children will ask, what do these stones mean? Verse 24 and 25, 21 and 24, it says, and Joshua said to the Israelites, in the future your children will ask, what do these stones mean? Then you can tell them, this is where the Israelites crossed the Jordan on dry ground, for the Lord your God, not the Lord their God, the Lord your God dried up the river right before their eyes and kept it dry until they crossed over, just as he did at the Red Sea when he dried it up until they had all crossed over. He did that Listen to this. He did this so all the nations on the earth might know that the Lord's hand is powerful, and you'll see, you might fear the Lord your God forever. He did this. You think about it. It wasn't the second time the waters dried up to march over on dry ground. The first time was for them to get out of captivity, and it was a place of miracles. But God said, what I did there, I can do here. For you to go from getting out of bondage, now I'm taking you to the land of promise, I'm going to open up a way. If I can do it there, I can do it here. My friend, I'm here to tell you, if he healed you back then, he can heal you today. If he blessed you back then, he can bless you today. If he blessed others back then, he can bless you today. Because he's the God of yesterday, today, and forever. He is the God who wants to bless you today and bless you tomorrow. So you can set up a memorial, so a generation can say, see what God did? Well, let's do it ourselves. I hope you've been enjoying the message so far. I pray that you have an impartation of what the Spirit of God is trying to say to your life. Why don't you sit back and enjoy the rest of the message, and we'll see you at the end of the service. It's a place of remembering the past to follow your future. It's a place of crossing over or moving forward. God does not have reverse in his car. God's always moving. He's always forward moving. He's always doing things. He never stops. He's continually moving. And our job is to continually move with him. See, churches over the years have stopped moving where God is moving, and they've created memorials for the past instead of momentum for the future. And they sit there and say, well, the music style, that's more anointed, but they then miss a generation. I was just in, a little while ago, I was in Korea. Korea had one of the greatest miracles in the 20th century. The largest church in the world is in Seoul, Korea back then. And I went there and I did this youth event, and they said to me, young people are leaving the church in droves. I go, what do you mean? This has seen one of the biggest revivals the world's ever seen. And they said this, it's because we haven't changed to reach the next generation. See, we got a choice whether we're going to live young at heart or let our age determine where we settle. God never called us to settle. I've seen this in my own life. I was just in Wales, just down the road from where my grandfather gave his life to Christ. And I've seen that he never settled, and he gave me an example of how never to settle. Always keep moving. He would be the first at altar calls in his 90s. He'd been to altar calls that had some of the greatest revivalists pray for him, and he says, I can feel the presence of God more now than I did then. How does a person live in that? Because he's decided, I'm going to constantly be moving forward. I'm going to constantly be. You see, moving forward, it takes some effort. Moving forward takes some energy. Moving forward takes some commitment. But moving forward will take you into your promised land. Staying still will get you to rot and get you to die and get you to shrivel up and begin to say, how God used to do it, he used to do it this way. I was talking to someone recently in another country, and they said, and a certain church group which had a massive revival in the 60s and the 50s and the 30s, they said, we've got no more young people, and we need to get this person, somebody, to come and meet with you and learn how to reach young people, and the gap is so big. And I go, why? They go, we don't know why it's so big. I tell you why it's so big. It's because they stopped where God moved, and God says, I'm still moving. If you stop where God touched you once but don't go for something more, you will stop. How are we going? It's a place of moving over, crossing over, moving forward. You know, when we have taken over any campus or any place that we've done something, We will never, we will honor what God has done, but we're not going to stop what God did, where he was moving. We're moving forward. Churches should always move forward. We as a church at Planet Shakers can't stop 20 years ago. We've got to keep moving forward. As a Christian, you've got to keep moving forward. Oh, but I've been disappointed. What do you think walking in 40 years of wilderness does to you? Keep moving forward. Next point. It's a place of letting go. The Jordan represents a place of letting go. I remember when we moved from Adelaide to Melbourne. I loved Adelaide. I thought Adelaide was the greatest place in the world. I was deceived. The water had deceived me. I thought Melbourne, you know, took all our footballers and stuff like that. And when God said, go to Melbourne, I'm like, you're kidding. And now I go back to Adelaide and I go, thank God I live in Melbourne. The greatest thing about Adelaide is the road to Melbourne or the airport to catch a plane. I love Adelaide. LA was cool. But I remember the time that we had to let go. We had to let go. That doesn't mean I don't have friends back there and all that. I do that. I do have friends there, but I was no longer their pastor. And so it was no longer my responsibility to lead them. I had to let them go. They were no longer under my covering. I had to let them go. You see, a place of the Jordan represents letting go of the past, letting go of the things that will hold you back, letting go of the disappointments of the wilderness, letting go of the desire for Egypt, letting go. The Jordan represents a place of recommitment to God in the journey. It was at the Jordan they were circumcised again. It was a place that says, God, they were circumcised once before, and this now represents a new season, so we're going to recommit our lives to your journey. I've discovered with God that following Jesus is a daily recommitting my life to him. It's recommitting my destiny to him. It's letting go of those things that will stop my commitment for him. It's saying, God, here I am again. That's why here at church, when we give opportunities for altar calls, you might say, well, I'm okay in my chair. You may be okay in your chair, but there's something about positioning yourself to say, God, here I am again. Never get tired of recommitting your life to Christ. As I said, In Joshua 3, the Ark of the Covenant is in verse 11, which belongs to the Lord of the whole earth, which will lead you across the Jordan. The Ark of the Covenant, which represented the presence of God. The Ark of the Covenant, the Bible says, which belongs to the Lord of the whole earth. It wasn't just for the Israel people, it was for the whole earth. It was for everybody. The Ark of the Covenant is for everybody. The presence of God is for everybody. So Jordan to me represents a place. It represents his presence. A mantle that falls represents an anointing, represents a presence that is carried. So the Jordan is a place of his presence. The Jordan is a place of letting go. The Jordan is a place of moving forward. The Jordan is a place of remembering what God has done, but thanking him for what he's about to do. The thing that keeps all this together is his presence. A place of his presence. As the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs for you, O God. Your presence is everything to me. Or is he just that on Sundays? The Jordan represents his presence, church. We are known as a presence church. We are known as a church that honors the Holy Spirit. We are a church that's known for the miraculous and breakthrough. We're a church known for the presence of God. But I'm here to tell you, in this next season, we need him more. In this next dimension, we need him more. His presence wraps around us. It protects us. It guides us. It empowers us. His presence is everything. And the Jordan, if we're going to step over and cross into a new land, a new place, a new moment, it needs his presence. Moses said, unless your presence goes with me. Yeah. Represents his presence. Huh. it's a place, the Jordan is a place that signifies the miraculous power of God. There was a man called Naaman who went and wanted to be healed. He had leprosy. He was a military man. He had a lot of authority. And he comes and he wants the prophet to pray for him. And the prophet doesn't even come out. He says, go dip in the Jordan seven times. And Naaman's offended because he's thinking he should be coming out and waving his hand over me and healing me. And the waters in my land are better than the Jordan. He let offense and he let things get in the way. And then he had somebody turn to him, one of his servants. We need people around us that will speak to our offenses, not put band-aids on our offenses. But say, you need to get over that. That's a wrong attitude. You don't need people around you to go, poor, 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 they hurt you. You need somebody to say, come on, mighty man. Come on, mighty woman of God. Yes, I understand it could have been done a little bit different, but you're better than that. You're bigger than that. Don't let bitterness and offense rob you from who you're supposed to be. Amazes me how many people get offended about everything. Not here, because you're also holy. But his servant said to him, look, just if it was a big thing, you'd do it, but it seems so small and insignificant. He said, go bathe in the Jordan seven times. And he did, and his leprosy disappeared in a second. Why? Because the Jordan to me represents a place of the miraculous where obedience is released. I better hurry. Lastly, it's a place of new dimensions. Matthew 3:11, John was baptizing his disciples. And he says, I baptize, thank you musicians, you can come. I baptize with water those who repent of their sins and turn to God. But someone is coming soon who is greater than I, so much greater that I'm not worthy to be his slave and carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Matthew 3:13-17 says, and then Jesus went from Galilee to the Jordan River to be baptized by John. But John tried to talk him out of it. I'm the one who needs to be baptized by you. He says, why are you coming to me? But Jesus says it should be done, for we must carry out what God requires. So John agreed to baptize him. And after his baptism, as Jesus came out of the water, the heavens were open, and we saw the Spirit of God descending on him like a dove and settling and remaining, another version says, on him. And a voice from heaven says, this is my dearly loved son who brings me great joy. See, this was a new dimension for Jesus. He went from a carpenter to a Messiah in the transition of the Jordan. It was a place where the Father recognized him. It was a place where the Spirit came upon him. It was the place that was declared who he was. It was a place of new dimensions. No longer was he just walking and serving his Father's house. Now he was operating under an authority and under an anointing that his Father had released upon him. It was a place of new dimensions. And I'm here to encourage us today, church, and those watching online, our on-air church. I'm here to tell you today that when you get baptized in the Jordan, when you get baptized in God's promises, when you get baptized in the place of crossing over, when you get baptized in surrender, when you get baptized in blessing, God says, I'm going to release a new dimension that all of hell can't stop. Because if I said it, it can't be stopped. Because I'm bigger and greater than anything. And when God says, this is my loved son, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased, and the Spirit came upon him, it was a new season and a new dimension. The plan didn't change, just the authority came greater. See, the Jordan doesn't represent a change of plan. It represents a new dimension, a new level. Oh, Elijah says to Elisha, I want a double portion, a new dimension, a new level of the Spirit. Where did he pick up the mantle? At the Jordan. Where was the first miracle that Elisha did? Was at the Jordan, where he did what Elijah had taught him. It's a place that represents the double portion. It's a place that represents a new season. It's a place that steps you towards your promised land. It's a place that recognizes the God of the wilderness and of Egypt, but now it's a place that same power and authority is upon me to take the promised land, Jericho being the first place, and then another 31 cities. It's a place of the miraculous. It's a place of recommitment. Who wants a double portion? Who wants another level? Who wants to go higher? Who wants to do more for God? You go, well, I think we're doing enough. No, we got more to do. There's more people to win. There's more people to love. There's more miracles to happen. There's more families to reach. God's a God of more. He's not just a God of just to get by. He's a God of more than enough. He's El Shaddai. He is a God of more than enough. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He is all authority. He has all power. There's no restrictions in him. And so when Jesus said, when you pray, let your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, he's saying, let there be no restrictions on you. Let there be no thing that will hold you back, because I've come and made a way. So in these next 4 minutes, then we're going to ask people to get right with Jesus. But in these next 4 minutes, you're watching online, you're watching at our campuses, and you say, I want to step into a new season. I want to step into a new level. I want to step into a new dimension. I want to be a disciple. See, Elisha got it because he was part of the discipleship process. He didn't get it running out and chasing his own thing. He was committed to the double portion. So I need his presence, whatever. We'll just stand on your feet. We're going to worship him. Thanks so much for joining us today. Our prayer is that you encounter Jesus in a powerful and magnificent way. He has a great plan for you, a great future for you. It's a time of Jordan River crossing. It's time to cross over into your destiny. We'd love to connect with you, whether it's in social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. You can connect with us by emailing us at church@planetshakers.com. We want to hear from you. We want to hear about the testimonies that is happening in your life and any prayer needs you have, because we're here to empower you to see God change your life. We love you. God bless you. We'll see you next week at Planet Shakers. Check out our new single. It's amazing. Praise Over Problems. You can see it on YouTube. Whatever you want to do, iTunes, on Google Play. We'll see you in church next week. Online, God bless you.